Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So the topic of conversation this week is how we see each other. Now you might say it's straightforward enough, but actually, do we really see each other on a deeper level to really understand each other, recognize each other? And to help me explore this topic, I've got a friend of mine, Mark Edwards. He's a leadership development expert, and he's an expert photographer, travel presenter, and he's just about to launch a book, The Faces of Mallorca. So welcome, Mark. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Amrit. It's beyond brilliant to be here with you.
Mark, before we dive into anything else, right, could you just give us a background of who you are and what you've done in the past?
Well, my name is Mark Edwards, and much like you, Amrit, I work in leadership development. So I've worked with different types of companies, typically quite large, quite well-known Fortune 250 companies, but also some SMEs. And I do a range of things from helping companies define their mission, their values, their purpose, through to designing leadership development programs, through to doing a lot of executive coaching and things like that.
And you've worked at the business school, haven't you?
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time as a program director at London Business School, and I was responsible for managing a large portion of what's called the Open Executive Education Programs. So that's where somebody like, you know, a Barclays or a Carlsberg may send some of their people over to this program to learn about change management, HR, marketing. So together with the professors, I'd be the ones responsible for designing those programs, looking at their effectiveness and keeping in touch with participants afterwards.
You've been on an interesting journey, and I say journey because you're not at the end of it. You'd probably say that you're at the beginning of it, but one of the things that when we've been talking, and one thing I've noticed is how you found an ability to really connect with people, or an understanding of how we can connect with people, because you know we're slowly coming out of lockdown. We've got a yearning as individuals now to really connect with people. You know, we've been socially isolated and deprived of that social connection. And something you shared with me about some photographs you'd taken. Do you want to just tell me the story how that came about and what you discovered?
Yeah, so I think we're going to have a pretty untypical conversation. This conversation is going to involve our friendship, it's going to involve leadership, it's going to involve photography, and it's going to involve travel presenting. But I think the common theme is going to be connecting with myself, who I am, and connecting with other people. I think this sort of journey began when I was exposed to some theory about this reflected best self exercise, which is an exercise to help you understand who you really are when you're at your best. And all you do simply is write to friends and family and ask them for stories of times when you've been great. So my friend Sebastian mentioned the time when I organized his 35th birthday party. Another friend talked about a time when I, you know, put the hours in at work. So there are all these stories I read, but then when you read through the stories, there's certain qualities that emerge. My qualities, the thing that I can own in terms of what my real strengths are, and we've all got them. But mine is connecting with people. Creativity, thinking about different ways of going about doing things, and humour. I tend to bring fun and humour into what I do quite a lot of the time. And the theory goes that when you're operating from your unique strengths, you're just better, right? So when I'm bringing humour and play into what I do, the results are just better. When I'm able to be quite creative, the results are just better, and so on. And I had the idea, and I've been playing with photography for quite some time to see, could we combine photography and psychology? And what I decided to do is I took a whole bunch of leaders and I decided to start working with female leaders. And I originally started with 15. So these were women in positions of power who were quite interested in terms of self-awareness, self-introspection and being a contribution. So I worked with them to take them through that process to understand who they were at their best. And then what we did was we went out on a photo shoot and I would ask them, where do you feel most alive? And this took place in five different countries. And each of those countries is like, where is important for you? And sometimes we'd go from location to location. And then we would work together as a team to try to, in a really authentic way, it sounds, how can it be authentic? It sounds very contrived, but it was in a really authentic way. How can we replicate that quality and show it within a photograph? And that's what I sought to do, or it's what we sought to do together.
What's interesting is, whilst you sought to find these qualities or to extract or help define these qualities, people were moved by the photographs they saw of themselves, weren't they?
Yeah. I think it's worth sharing a few stories to make it come to life and make it real for people. So there was one lady, Antonia. Her specific quality was connecting using humor. So many of the people she spoke to said, Antonia, one of the best things you do is you use your humor to connect with people. And so we're thinking, connecting with humor, connecting with humor, connecting with humor. How can we do this? And we were walking around and we approached the London Eye in London. And we're at the South Bank. And for some reason, a shop owner had left a discarded sofa outside of the shop window, right? And I just had this idea. I said, Antonio, why don't you just sit down there and start talking to random strangers? Invite them to sit down next to you and start talking. Now, I knew that would work because she's an extroverted type person. She loves connecting with people. And I just knew it was a question of seeing what happened next. And lo and behold, I went a little bit further away and she sat down. Who joined her? Priests, vicars, firemen, tradespeople. And then all of a sudden, there was two Japanese tourists, two ladies. And Antonia said this joke, and the three of them, their heads are back with their mouths covered. And it's pure delight. It's pure humor. And it is connecting with humor. So that's a very specific example. There's so many that I could point to. Another very special example that sticks in my mind is a lady called Vera. And she was kind of in her 60s, and or maybe late 50s, early 60s. And she had lost her husband and connected, entered a fairly new relationship with this man. Normally, I just go off on the photo shoot with the person who I'm photographing. But on this example, she was accompanied by her boyfriend, her partner. And he kind of managed, he was there having a coffee in the background. And we were actually at a beach in The Hague. We're in Holland, and this place meant a lot to her. And there's a specific quality that was loving and nurturing that really came out very strongly. And I was drawing a blank a little bit. It was me and her, we were on the beach. And I thought, you know what? Given that her partner, Bernard, is there, why didn't we just bring him over? We brought him over. And I asked them both to just look into each other's eyes. And what then emerged was a very intimate moment. You know, she was saying things like, I am yours. He would say, you are mine. Whatever is mine is yours. You're my partner for life. They were crying, you know. At first I felt very self-conscious, and then I actually just disappeared. I just, you know, it was all about them. And I took photographs of her looking into his eyes, and they are pure love. And
that's amazing. Yeah.
There is no doubt. You see that photograph and it's pure love. Now, for me, that feels 10 times more powerful than reading a 15-page report. You know, having the word love or love and nurturing combined with that photograph is very, very powerful. And I could spend ages talking with you, Amrit, about many, many stories, because there's at least 15 people. And with each of those people, there's at least three qualities and therefore three pictures. And for every one, there's a whole story.
And from that experience, Mark, you know, what is it that you've found that's common? Is it the fact that we're not taking time out to really see each other, the way you facilitating allowing people to see either their partners or themselves or how you saw them? Is there something in that that says these moments are pure, you know, really amazing and impactful because we're just not taking enough time for attention to see these things, or what is it that you've discovered?
I think there's a few things that come to mind. The first one is yourself as the person who's doing the seeing, just shutting up, slowing down, calming the breath, and just seeing the person, you know. And then there's something else around how you see the person. I mean, it's probably worth sharing a little story about how we first met. When we first met in the Sherlock Holmes Hotel, I just said, after a few seconds, I feel compelled to give you a huge hug.
You did.
I just saw you as a really loving, huge, warm person. Maybe that doesn't back up my example, because I think that's who you are. I don't think I created it that way. But the second part, I think, is what is reality? There is no such thing as reality. A while ago, I was working with this person, and I was introduced to this person, and they said, "Oh, you'll have a nightmare working with Bob. You know, he's always got to have the last word. He's always so overly structured. You'll never get a word in, and he's so serious." And I just decided to completely ignore that, and I decided to create him as a fun-loving, larger-than-life character. And we started the call, and I was like saying, "Bob, I've heard so many great things about you," and da da da. And from that moment, he was that person.
And you know, it makes you wonder if we take this back to your journey's been amazing. You've been all over the world in both photography, but also you're doing sort of travel presenting as well. And your eye for what you see versus, I think, what so many of us miss every day, the moments that sort of passes by that you capture and you somehow bring out and draw out, it makes you wonder how much of that is going on in life. And you think about, if I take it back to the corporate world of leadership,
that's the world I'm in as well, right?
Yeah.
It's very tangential to that, but I totally get that world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's relating the two, that yeah, you've used this ability to see people through photography and apply it to leadership and helping leaders to say, how do you see the people around you? How do you see yourself? And how could you see yourselves and people around you on a deeper level?
I think it's easier to see other people rather than seeing yourself. And this project and some other things I'm going to talk about were ways for me to see other people, but in so doing, get to know myself better. So on the basis that there is no such thing as reality, I would spend time in this project creating with them who they are, because they've had this feedback from these people. We're trying to create these qualities. So when I'm out with them, right, I'm looking for love, humor, connection, creativity, organization, empathy, nurturing. I'm looking for specific things in them and capturing it. I'm looking for that. And there are specific dimensions that are already there, and I'm looking for them. And by the way, often in the project, new qualities and dimensions would emerge. Because I would say to them, you know, when I look at that photograph, this is what I see. What do you see? So it could shift. But it really got me present during that process to think that, oh my God, what if we just did this more regularly? You know?
That's what really fascinates me.
You're working with this person, let's say it's Jane. How could you see Jane for who she really is? And then talk to that person. So we were talking about this last night. Let me be really specific with you. I don't often hear this kind of a conversation, right? Let's say you worked for me. And I don't know, I'm setting you the task, or we're setting the task together for you to create an engagement plan. Right, Amri, you're going to be incredibly successful at developing this engagement plan. The reason I know is there isn't a better person than you at connecting with people, right? You're just awesome at that. Well, here's why I think you're awesome at that. So I know already you're going to be a success at this. Anything you need from me, just let me know. That's not a typical conversation. A typical conversation in my opinion, is, all right, you're comfortable, clear KPIs, you're clear, come to me if there's any issues, and then you'll go away, and most of the time you'll be thinking, I better cover my back, I better CC the right people in. You're not really often thinking, oh my God, I've so got this, and I know Mark's there, he's to hand.
It's so true. It's the whole transactional, and you know, this goes back to the whole being seen. Are you seeing me for what I am? Is this a task? Are you just ticking a box and putting me aside? And when do we really take time out to connect with each other? I mean, that conversation of inspiring and energizing because you know I've got this versus, can you just, you know, what stops leaders from seeing people in that way? Is it the baggage of the labels we associate with them? Is it just not taking enough time out?
Yeah, we look, as humans, we build up pictures of people, and we have to, right? It's fight or flight and all that stuff. We have to build up pictures quite quickly. So quite quickly, I can build up a picture of someone based upon their past performance, hell, their ethnicity, right? Their background, their religion, quite relevant to the current climate. I can build up a picture quite quickly. And most of the time, actually, what it is building up a picture in relation to their task, what they're good, whether they're an accountant, whether they're a lawyer, those things they have to do. It's quite another thing to build up a picture of somebody in relation to who they really are, that what their core qualities are. So fine, you're an accountant, but you're also an amazing organizer, or you're the person more than anybody else I know who's got the greatest degree of empathy. How can we utilize that? And it takes time. You know, it takes time in a busy schedule to actually have these conversations and to almost ask the question, and I know how ridiculous this is about to sound, but who are you?
Yeah. And if you think about it, Mark, most of the time that question is responded to by what I do.
Yes. Now, we could talk a lot more about that project, but the reason why I did that and did this Mallorca project, which I'm going to go and talk about, is I wanted to really explore myself. You know, I didn't just want to see myself as a leadership development person. And I did a lot of coaching, and often when I'd be coaching, I'd be asking people to jump outside their comfort zone, take risks, and ask myself, well, am I doing that? You know, am I really doing that? And I could say, well, yeah, there's these moments where I might have lived in a different country or done whatever, but actually stuck my neck on the line and done something completely different. And to cut to the chase, I decided together with a friend to write a photo book, because I found myself working a lot in Mallorca, about the people of Mallorca. We called it Faces of Mallorca. It's going to be published this year. And it's over 60 portraits of people here in Mallorca, from the very well known to Rafa Nadal's uncle and former trainer, Tony Nadal, to a fisherman who he went out for half hour in the morning to catch fish with, or a silent nun, or a demoni, you know, a devil covered in blood who parades the streets in these festivals, or a world cycling champion, or a gay rights activist. You know, there's loads and loads of those variety of people in the book. And let's look at all the reasons why I'm not qualified to do that, because these were all going on in my head, right? I don't speak any real great degree of Spanish. I'm not a trained photographer, right? I'm not like a sociologist. I barely know Mallorca. And yet, together with a friend, a colleague, I am producing and having published this year a photo book about Mallorca. And ultimately, I think there's two reasons why I've been able to do that. And the reason why I'm sharing this, I think everybody can do so much more than what it is they do. Number one is stepping into my strengths. And number two is a partnership. So in terms of stepping into my strengths, you remember mine? Do you remember my three, Amrit? My three strengths?
Remind me.
Connection, creativity, and humor, right? So to be a photographer and to capture people, especially if you're capturing people, you need to be able to connect to them. That's quite important, to relax them, to get the real sense of them. You need to be able at times to make people laugh, right? So they really stop pretending to be somebody else and they can just be themselves. And you need to be creative. You need to think of how to make a photograph jump out and be interesting, right? So my strengths were helpful in terms of being a photographer. And, you know, I learned stuff about ISO settings and shutter speeds and apertures. And I'm not like technically the greatest photographer, but because I employed my strengths, it actually came quite relatively easy to me. And this isn't me being boastful. Like, I think a lot of your listeners, people working in leadership development, I think people working in HR, and I think a lot of coaches, other coaches would be brilliant photographers for the same reasons, right? Really good at listening, really good at paying attention, noticing things. So why wouldn't they be great at capturing a moment of time using photography? And the other thing was partnership. I partnered with somebody, Steffi, who's a friend of mine, who had strengths and you know, we did half the writing, but she did a lot of the longer form writing. She did a lot of the detailed project management, and they were the skills that came more naturally to her. So there was playing to my strengths and also being in a good working partnership.
But Mark, I've seen the photographs. I've seen some of the photographs you've produced, and you have managed to capture an essence of somebody really deep. They're moving photographs. They're really, they are. They're just very emotional photographs. And I don't think whether they were intended to be or not. It's the attention you took, the time out you took to really notice things in people, that I wonder whether in life, you know, that's a lesson for all of us, is when do we really take time out to notice things about each other? You know, that example of leadership that you described, you know, if we really notice things about people, the skills, the qualities they have, and I know this is what you're applying to leadership in terms of the work you do, but it's an interesting thing that most of us could take learnings from. Your strengths are your strengths. But taking time to notice things about people is, I think that's really powerful. And that's what really struck me about your photographs.
Yeah. A degree of empathy. There was a guy in it called Jordy, and he's a singer and he's gay. And he says sometimes he finds it quite hard in Mallorca being gay. And he's very effeminate as well. So his preference is to apply makeup, is to wear quite glamorous clothing. And I'm just laughing, thinking about what I'm about to say next and the pictures of him. And how sometimes he feels like he can't really be himself. It's a relatively conservative society here, so he can't really wear those clothes. So we arranged to meet up at this gay kind of 80s bar, and it was me and him. And I could feel some of that pain within him. And I said, you know what, let's put the blinds down. It was just me, him, and the lady behind the bar. Let's put the blinds down. Let's get a bit of music on and just, you know what, put your makeup on and just dance. And, you know, he was dancing. It was me. Like, he was dancing to me. And it was incredible moving experience as I was just really focused on him. Click, 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 just capturing every movement. And there's a photograph of just his face, and which is the only photograph like this in the book, where you just see, you know, the lipstick on his mouth, the earrings, the eyeshadow, and the sense of pride that he's got in that photograph. And there's another one of him looking very glamorous, wearing a skirt, holding a baguette, wearing a purple kind of cool jacket. And I made the whole rest of the picture black and white, and he stands out. And it was all, and you know, I'm not gay myself. I'm not a singer. I'm not, I don't work in a bookstore, which he sometimes does during the day. But I do know what it's like to feel like you don't belong, like you're an outsider, like you can't really express yourself. And that's what helped in terms of seeing him and taking those pictures.
But Mark, how many of us in life go through experiencing not being seen not having a voice, not just being invisible. And there's a Beyonce song I came across, it's a while back now, and it's called I Was Here. And honestly, when I first heard it, it moved me emotionally. And it might be one of those cheesy tracks that people hear, but I could relate to it, because you, throughout life, you want to be acknowledged, to say, I exist, I'm here, and you want to be noticed. And your photographs and your ability to connect with people allows them to be noticed. And that's probably the most moving thing I've seen in what you do. You allow people to exist and to be noticed and be present and to be acknowledged.
And I also want to say something, in that I can be a complete jerk. And it's important to say that, right? There's people I don't like. They don't like me. I've fallen out with people and I cannot see them, however hard to try.
No.
So I, you know what I mean? I don't really want to say like, oh, I'm the paragon or whatever, but it is a large degree of people where I'm able to do this, like I can do it. But it's not by any means saying that I can do this with everybody. I wouldn't want people
to. Mark, I guess my point is that this isn't a quality just assigned to you. It's all of us. If we just took time out, humans, we as human beings, we want to connect with each other and we want to be noticed. We want to be seen. And the power that you infuse people with when you do that, and that we all have the ability to do that. And imagine if in a world where leaders did this all the time, empowering their teams because they see them, they truly see them.
And to see somebody else, you also have to let go of who you are. You know, will they get promoted over me? How will this make me look? Will this diminish me? And I think the biggest hack for any leader is just to not focus on you at all, really, and think about how can you see somebody for who they really are and give them that opportunity. I mean, you know, when I was at London Business School, the person who I was reporting into saw that I had this kind of capacity with people and a sort of thing, an ability with a video, and I ended up, you know, it's a very simple example, I ended up creating 30 videos of myself, of professors, that we could use, but then explaining certain concepts that we could then send out to participants. Now, I wasn't really a videographer, but I was quite good at bringing out people's messages. So she saw that in me. That's all it is, just seeing stuff. And if you can see things in other people, okay, here's the thing. If you can see things in other people that they also see, it's nice. It's a nice feeling. If you can see things in other people they can't even see in themselves, and then give them some work to do in that area, they'll love you forever.
I think that's one of the most moving elements of what I see in what you've done, but also in the lesson we can all take is when we really see people, because a lot of the time we're not seeing the greatness in ourselves. We're too busy belittling ourselves. And when others see things in us, it really strikes a chord. So I think there's definitely something here about how do we take time out to see each other. And, you know, your point, just when you were talking about, there's something that struck me about social media, even down to social media. You know, when we like something or acknowledge something on online, we're saying, in essence, I see you. But then we start to put barriers in place. Oh, hang on. If I like that, what does that mean? What is that saying about me? And what is that saying about them? And actually, when we truly see each other, there's so many different ways now, even on, you know, we're in lockdown, whilst countries are moving out of it now, many of us will continue to work from home. And when we're looking at that face on screen, what are we seeing? How am I truly seeing you and acknowledging you and recognizing you? And there's so much we could do with building connections with each other that at the moment it might be seen as a chore. I've got to go on another video call.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing something quite exciting now with a film brand, a quite well-known film brand, with their leaders. And one of the things I'm getting them to do is just look at each other. And then because they're a film photography company, I'm getting them to actually photograph each other in a way that is, they're capturing as much of that person as possible. And then we're going to be asking them, how was that? How was it for you to see that person? How was it for the person being photographed to be seen and captured in that way? But, you know, even as a tip, quite frankly, you know, I've been on a couple of Zoom calls, and yes, it's important to check in and see how everybody is before cracking on. But in a couple of examples, I've just asked people to not say anything and just to look at each other for a few seconds, a minute or two, and it's powerful. You know,
I can imagine. And like I said, I've seen your work, and you've done some great things with photography, bringing it into leadership development. You've also done some fantastic presenting work as well, and the comedy. You know, there is a huge element that plays a critical role in your life. I've seen some fantastic stuff, which I think you should release, but
I don't know. Oh my God. Yeah, the stuff in me dressed up in spandex doing all sorts of crazy stuff, like, you know, really, really exploring that comedy angle. Can I show that on LinkedIn? I don't know. I'm still exploring that.
We'll have to see, but there's definitely something here about being seen. So
the other thing that I think you mentioned, the presenting, I was asked to present a YouTube channel in Mallorca. That led to me being a travel correspondent for a US travel show. It's a nationally syndicated show, and each episode is seen by 1.5 million people, mainly in America, the Caribbean, Canada. And some of my episodes have gone out on that. That's insane. You know, little old me, who does some leadership development, has kind of become a travel presenter as well, going out to 1.5 million people. And again, the reason why it's not really insane is because those qualities that I have, connection, well, I just connected to the camera. I told a few jokes, or I used a bit of humor and creativity, and that I was just really being myself to the camera. But I feel we live in a society where that's all about structures. You know, so I think, you know, whilst I've continued a lot of my consulting remotely, I've had to step out of being with one specific company whilst doing this work. I've had to free my mind to actually think, well, how can I just be Mark? How can I be the qualities rather than just being a leadership development guy? The same could apply to just an accountant or a professor or a lawyer or an interior designer for a while. How can I just be me and employ those things that I'm good at in different areas, photography, presenting, and it's been fun. The journey isn't over yet. I'm still experimenting. I don't know what comes out the other side. But that's that's the journey I am on.
I love the using the creativity and your journey that you're on in exploring and pushing the boundaries of how do we really connect with each other in a way that we haven't done before or could do it in a better way. And you are experimenting, and I love that. I think it's fantastic.
And can I just say, sorry, the most important person to connect with is ourself. Yeah. So when I'm doing that travel presenting, I it takes me back to like when I was 15, doing GCSE drama, which was the subject that I enjoyed the most. Right. I'm dressing up, you know, I'm running around, I'm being expressive. I'm kind of that part of me that loves to perform. I'm doing that, and it really connects me to what I love.
And there's probably also something on that says when we take time to connect with others, it's helping us connect with ourselves. Yeah, I think you're right. We just doing that is there's this dual role to it, that it's helping us and others. You know, we see them and we see ourselves while we're seeing them.
Yeah, and I think it's been funny. There are two parts to this. There's part where I've been behind the camera, and there's parts where I've been in front of the camera. And I think we both want to do that. We both want to enable and push and inspire, but we also want to be seen ourselves.
Yeah. And so, Mark, we're going to have to draw it to close. I know the book you've done, Faces of Mallorca, that's being published soon. There's some fantastic, fantastic photographs in there and the work you've done. You've also got some work you're doing with some big organizations on using photography to really help people see each other. And you're doing the travel consultancy and travel presenting. I'm sure there'll be people queuing up to utilize your services in how we really see each other, especially now in a world where I think this thing about authenticity is far more real. You know, that it rather than ticking boxes, we now want the human connection. Having been through what we've been through, how do we truly connect with each other when we've been so isolated from each other? So Mark, thanks very much for joining. I appreciate your time out. We are friends, but I have been genuinely fascinated with your work of finding ways of connecting human spirit and human beings with each other, and in the process of doing that, how we discover ourselves. So it's been fascinating.
Thanks, Amrit.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining
us.
So that's our podcast for this week. So it's all about connection. How do we see ourselves? How do we see others? And how do we truly see the world around us in a deeper level that we can really connect with? Thanks once again to Mark. Thanks for joining our podcast this week. We'll have a podcast out every week with guests and views on leadership development, learning and development, and everything else in between. Thanks very much, and I will see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.